How many of you remember Boxing Day 2004? That was the day when the Indian Ocean tsunami struck. And I remember being shocked by the images of devastation, but I think particularly so because it happened at Christmas, a time when there was so much joy, and then suddenly this terrible suffering and devastation. But in many ways, our Judeo-Christian heritage prevents us from sentimentalizing even a sentimental season like Christmas. We shouldn't be surprised when despots murder other politicians, as happened on December 27th in 2007, when Benazir Bhutto was assassinated. We're not surprised because we grow up hearing Bible tells of corrupt politicians. When children are victims of fighting, as happened during the Gaza War, which was launched December 27th in 2008, or when Adam Lanza entered Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14th, 2012. We're horrified, but we know that this is not the first time little children have been targeted victims, and that it will not be the last. Scripture is full of accounts of political and global upheaval and of the people that are unfortunate enough to be caught in the midst of that. Even our Christmas stories are tinged with heartache. Here we are, the ninth day of Christmas, just 9 days away from Silent Night and the sweet infant child in the manger, when suddenly the Bible faces us with the bloodthirsty stories of Herod conniving to get the Magi to track down the Messiah for him. And when that doesn't work, he decides that the best way to eliminate this royal threat is to wipe out a whole generation of baby boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. I think it's actually easy to miss the full meaning of the vulnerability of God taking on human flesh until we hear the pounding on the door of Herod's men, demanding to come in and search the home. And I think it's easy to miss what the incarnation demands of each of us as followers of Jesus in this world full of war and upheaval until we reflect on the death threats that Jesus faced in his earliest years after the Magi made their way home. God didn't choose to send his son into the world as a fully grown man, able to manage his own destiny. God sent him utterly dependent on the care of his teenage mother and her carpenter husband. St. Augustine captured the wonder of this vulnerable divine love in these words, where he said, "God so loved us for our sake, he was made man in time, although through him all times were made." Jesus was made man who made man. He was created of a mother whom he created. He was carried by hands that he formed. He cried in the manger in wordless infancy, "He the Word, without whom all human eloquence is mute." The story of Herod and his murderous threats against Jesus reminds us that while Jesus was surely God, he was also very much human. God made him subject to real human life, including the global crises of his day. And I think that's part of the good news of the incarnation, Because Jesus was not spared the vagaries of human life, he really is able to fully identify with us and everything that life throws our way. He understood the ordinariness of what it means to be human, the joys, well, the ups and downs of family life. He understood the ups and downs of life in community. He knew what it was to be human as well, at the mercy of bigger socio-economic and political events. Remember that Jesus lived the refugee experience with his mother Mary, his father Joseph, having to find shelter in Egypt from Herod, who was a complete psychopath. And he lived the full ups and downs of human experience. He was acclaimed as a king, but he was born in a borrowed room, and he was buried in a borrowed grave. He was homeless for 3 years of his life. Do you see the comfort of a God who really does understand our every joy and sorrow? God knows what it's like to be human, living in a world that is full of so much goodness, and yet is often haunted by horrors. But Matthew's story of Jesus' dangerous first years don't just tell us about the good news of the incarnation. I think these accounts also dignify us. That is, they dignify our humanity. Or at least they remind us of the potential godliness of humanity. So, yes, of course, it was a corrupt human, Herod, who was threatening Jesus' life. But it was also humans who saved him. It was the Magi who refused to be co-opted by Herod, who instead listened to God's promptings in a dream and went home by another way. It was Joseph who listened to the whisperings of the angel and took his adopted son and his mother and fled with them to safety to Egypt. And we don't hear about them, but clearly there were good Egyptians, weren't there? Egyptians who gave Joseph and Mary and Jesus a place to stay, and who gave Joseph work so that he could provide for his young family. In a sense, God's entrusting himself to a human mother and father and to the benevolence of strangers sanctifies these human relationships and our humanity. God made us to be in families and to be in community, and there is goodness and potential godliness in every one of us who is willing to follow God's dreams and to listen to the whisperings of the angels. God entrusted himself to human beings because allowed his future to depend on humans, because I think it's often through us that God works his purposes in our world. And I think that we can find hope and comfort in that when we face our own terrors of the night. I know many people who, when they're battling serious illness or depression or struggles in their life, experience God's provision for them through the care of their immediate family, through the care of their colleagues and friends, and through the care of their church community. Mike and I know of a bereaved man who was left very suddenly to raise 2 children on his own. They were on holidays when his wife suddenly died of an aneurysm. And he received the gift of a nanny for 1 full year from a complete stranger who had heard of his story. And this gift of this nanny, his wife had been the full-time stay-at-home mom, This gift from a stranger allowed him and his two daughters to recover from the shock of grief and to allow him to get back on his feet and to learn how to work full-time and raise two girls on his own. In your own life, I'm sure you have your own stories of times where the blessing of family or maybe even of strangers have helped you survive a crisis. Maybe even it saved your life. We are all of us here able to be agents of God's care to people who are in desperate need of help. We, just like the Magi, just like Joseph, we have to be attentive to God's dream, attentive to the whisperings of the angels. But of course, this story is not just about us. It's not even just about Jesus, is it? There are also children in this story, nameless, faceless victims of Herod's wrath. You may not know this, but on December 28th of every year, that was, I think, Wednesday this week, we are encouraged as a church to mark the day. It's called the Massacre of the Holy Innocents, the first martyrs of the church. And on that day, we are asked as a church to remember children around the world who are suffering innocently, children who are really the most vulnerable members of our society. And so we're asked to remember the AIDS orphans in sub-Saharan Africa, children sold into prostitution, those living in slums without access to clean water, refugees fleeing from danger. We remember the children in our own city who, unlike Jesus, do not have a loving mother or a loving father to care for them, but may be in foster care or in their homes but suffering abuse. Although the day of Holy Innocence has passed, we will be upholding and remembering children today during our time of prayer. And for those whom the Holy Spirit prompts today, we continue, each of us, to remember to be a friend to those who are the most vulnerable, and certainly to be attentive and caring for the needs of the children whom God has brought our way. And we pray and we act with hope, because one of the messages of the Christmas story is that no government or governor, however cruel, can halt the plans of God. No king or kingdom, no matter how powerful, can prevent the reign of God from unfolding. The story of Herod and his wrath against Jesus and against those helpless young boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area is a difficult text, and it always seems like a strange text to be hearing during Christmastide as we continue to sing our joyful carols. There are not many Christmas carols about the Massacre of the Innocents, let me tell you. And yet I think it's good for us to hear this text because it offers us a fuller and a very grounded vision of the Incarnation. And I actually don't think it's a bad way for us to start the new year. We start 2016 with the strong reminder that as we go into this new year, with its unknown joys and unknown sorrows ahead, we enter this year with the promise that we go into it with a God who understands us, who has great compassion for us because he was one of us, and he understands what we are going through, no matter what life throws at us this coming year. And we also go into this new year, into 2016, with God's challenge to be a people like Joseph and like the Magi, a people who strive to follow God's dreams, a people who listen to the whisperings of the angels, a people who do our part to be a friend to those who are in crisis and in need, to be a people who seek God's good in an often dangerous and hurting world. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we continue to celebrate with great joy the birth of your Son. And as we listen to the difficult text of Herod and the way he tried to kill your Son in his earliest childhood, we're reminded of the great risk of this project of yours, of the Incarnation. We give you thanks that through your Son, you understand our every joy and our every sorrow. And we give thanks that we can begin this new year with a God who is with us, who understands us, who loves us, and knows us. We give you thanks for the example of your servant Joseph, who obeyed the voice of the angels in the dream. For your servants, the Magi, strangers, yet who followed your dream and refused to bow to the tyranny of the day, and so saved your Son. Help us, like them, to be a friend to those without friends, to come alongside the most vulnerable in our families, in our neighborhood, in our society. Help us in all things to be a people who follow your dreams for our city and for your world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.